for your mercy, for the blood that was shed for us at Calvary, that we could come before you just as we are. Give our lives to you fresh and anew this day, and be cleansed from all unrighteousness, Father. We thank you for that blood. We thank you for Jesus. And we give you all the praise and all the honor. In Jesus' name. Again, it is an honor to be with you today. I had the great opportunity of preaching last week on the American Covenant. And one of the things I said in that sermon that we're going to talk about, the Blood Covenant today, which gives that American Covenant its power. And what is that Blood Covenant? It's the blood that was shed for me and you. It was the blood at Calvary that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The blood. And so if you'll just allow me to come and walk amongst you a little bit. Hope I don't get out of the ordinary here, but I just want to come and see your faces a little bit. So this is a deep congregation here, so I can't see what's going on way in the back there. So I just want to come amongst you. Amen. Let me read a couple of scriptures, and then we're going to pray. In Deuteronomy 7, 6 through 9, it says, "Therefore, know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments." Deuteronomy 8, 18 says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is to this day." 1 Chronicles, which is our Old Testament reading. "Remember the covenant always. Remember His covenant always. The word which He commanded for 1,000 generations. The covenant which He made with Abraham and His oath to Isaac and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute. To Israel for an everlasting covenant." It's essential that we understand the significance of a covenant relationship in order to fully comprehend this wonderful salvation that we've been given. Amen? Father, again, I come before you. Help me to speak, Father, that I may speak to their hearts, not to their minds, but to their hearts. For that is where You want us to grow up, Father, to know You, to know the relationship that we have with You, because You desired a family. You desired a family, so You sent Your Son Jesus Christ for us, that we would know You and know the One that sent You, that we would know You and know the One that You sent. And we thank You for the Holy Spirit as reveals to our hearts the truth of Your Word today, that we may receive it today and not go away the same way, but we will go away changed. Because where two or more are gathered in Your name, You're here in our midst. And we thank You for that. But You're not here just to tickle our ears. You're here to give Your life to us, to change us, help us. And we thank You for these covenant blessings that You've bestowed upon us. In Jesus' name. Amen. One of the most embarrassing situations for any businessman to find out is that he lost vast sums of money needlessly, or to learn he could have been enjoying for years simply, or to learn of assets he could have been enjoying for years simply because he did not know the fullness of the contracts he had entered into. Here's a story of a man who scrimped and saved every cent until he could buy a ticket on a great ship to America. He had only enough money to buy some cheese and a little bread to eat on his trip. He would gaze longingly at the dining rooms and watch the people eating beautiful food and having so much fun. One morning on their arrival in New York, one of the ship's officers asked the man if they had offended him in any way since he had not eaten any of his meals with them. "Oh no," replied the man. "I only had enough money to pay for my ticket. I didn't have enough to eat in the dining rooms." The officer looked at the man almost in unbelief and said, "Sir, I'm so sorry. Your meals were included in your fare. How many of us are living on bread and water, bread and cheese, when God's best is theirs all the time? It's part of our covenant. They don't know the terms of their contract. They don't know the terms of their covenant. God has given us a covenant, a solemn promise, an agreement that can't be broken. I believe that what we're talking about today is going to help us. Well, it's my belief and my hope that this will help us to find out what belongs to us in our covenant with Jesus Christ. Remember, we talked about a covenant last week. I said, what is a covenant? Remember, it's an agreement between or contract between two people or two groups of people or two parties. There are three main reasons for entering into a covenant. One is protection. Two is business. And three is love and friendship. The blood covenant has been practiced by all primitive peoples from time immemorial. Dr. H. Clay Trumbull wrote a book in which he showed that the blood covenant was the basis for all primitive religions. He gave data for all parts of the world showing that even to this day, men are practicing a blood covenant very similar to the Lord's table. The Hebrew word for covenant means to cut. It has the suggestion of an incision where blood flows. In practically every place where the word is used in Scripture, it means to cut the covenant. Again, the blood covenant is the strongest and most sacred covenant there is. It is a perpetual covenant. An indissoluble covenant. A covenant that can't be annulled. If you remember Dr. Livingston and Mr. Stanley, when they were as missionaries in Africa, they had been all over Africa, and they said that they never knew the blood covenant and all the time that they were there to ever be broken. It's that powerful. Never to be broken. In a blood covenant means that all the benefits and assets, liabilities and debts of a person are owned and shared equally by the second person. When two people are making a covenant or two parties, and all the debts, assets, liabilities, and talents of the second person are equally shared by the first person. So, what's mine is yours, and what's yours is mine. So, if I had a Cadillac and my covenant brother says, I need your Cadillac, I'm under obligation to give him my Cadillac. And if I didn't give him my Cadillac, then I would break that covenant, and then, as you'll see here in a minute, there is a sentence upon my life at that point in time. In the ceremony of entering a blood covenant, there are four known ways of entering into blood covenant. You cut the palms and then shake hands and mingle their blood. Remember the day when a handshake meant something? When you shook hands with somebody, it was mean because you were pledging all that you had with that person. That was your word. That was your bond. This is where the handshake came from. You would cut the hand, shake hands, mingle the blood. You are now covenant brothers. You would cut the wrists and bind the wrists together to mingle the blood. You would cut the wrists and allow the blood to drip into a container of wine and have both parties drinking equal portions of that wine. That's not scriptural, but it still happens around the world. Or the substituting of the blood of animals, as we see in all the sacrifices of the Old Covenant. There would be eight scriptural steps for entering into a covenant, a blood covenant. And we can kind of see these things. We can kind of see Jesus in every one of these steps here. The exchange of coats or garments. He takes our filthy rags and gives us His robes of righteousness. Exchange of weapons. Well, we have nothing to give Him as far as weaponry, but what does He give us? He gives us His armor. He gives us His Word, which is the sword of the Spirit. Exchange of names. We see this in the covenant of marriage, where the woman will take on the last name of the husband, making them one. The cutting of the covenant, cutting of blood. We see Jesus pouring out His blood on the cross for us. And this portion here, splitting of animals in a figure eight represents the church. What would happen in the Old Testament covenant, when they would make a covenant, they would split an animal down the middle, lay those halves out side by side, and the two people that were going through that covenant would walk a figure eight through that covenant, representing eternity, meaning that it was an indissoluble covenant. And they were saying that covenant, we're walking through that path of blood, and that means that this is an agreement that's going to go on for eternity. And that if I break this covenant, I'm going to be like this animal that is laid out before me. The pronouncement of cursings and blessings. Memorial set up between covenant partners. We see God blessing us in His Word all the time. Look for the promises. Look for the blessings of God in there. Every promise that is in there is ours. That's something that we can hang on to. That's something we can take home. That's something we take to the bank. That's ours. Set up a memorial between covenant partners. It was usually planting of a tree. Well, Jesus planted a tree for us at Calvary. He hung there for us. And to eat a covenant meal. And we see that in the communion table. Genesis 2:16-17, we're going to go back to the beginning now. So we see that God is speaking blessings and cursings to Adam. And the Lord commanded the man, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of good and evil you shall not eat. For the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." So we see the blessings. You can eat of any tree, but don't eat of this tree, the curses, because you're going to die of that. And after the fall, we see that God making tunics of skin and clothing Adam and Eve. In Genesis 3:21, an animal's life was given for them to be covered. Here we see God making atonement for their sin. The atonement means to cover. God covered over their sin. Innocent blood was shed to cover their sins. So we see God initiating this way back in the beginning. Abel practiced the covenant when his sacrifice was better than Cain's. Noah practiced the covenant after the flood. In Genesis 9:1-17, we hear that God declaring the blessings and curses on His covenant with Noah. And I want to pay particular attention to Genesis 9:4. God says, "But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood." New King James. Because why? The blood represents life. It represents life. All covenants established by God were founded upon the body and blood sacrifices. The blood ratified or sealed the covenant. Life is in the blood. This is the vital principle of life. Life is in the blood. Jesus' life, His blood was poured out for us that we would have life. Amen? So now that we have background of what the blood covenant is, let's take a walk through the Word and experience the blessings of what the blood covenant means to us and how we can walk in those blessings. God is so good. Because in Galatians 3:13, He says, "Christ has redeemed us, purchased us from the curse of law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree.'" So we see that tree, that memorial that was planted, Jesus hung on that memorial. "That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." So we see it's through faith that we receive that promise. It's not something that we can do. But God did it all. Galatians 3:17-18. "And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer of a promise." God promised. It's not something that some steps that we take to get to a place of blessing in God. It says that the way we please God is by faith in Hebrews. The only way that we can please God is just by trusting in what He has already done. In the fact that Jesus Christ has already paid the price. Has already done the work. Amen? So God promised that if we are Christ, then we are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. Well, what are the blessings of Abraham? Material prosperity, physical healing, possession, long life. In Genesis 13:2, he says Abraham was very rich in livestock, silver and gold. Genesis 24:1 says, "Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord blessed Abraham in all things." Those blessings are ours. Genesis 25:1 says that this is the sum of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, 175 years. So God speaks to Abram. Back in Genesis 12, God initiates that covenant with Abram. In verse 2, we hear this blessing: "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you should be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." We have those blessings. In Genesis 13, 14 through 16, God continues to speak blessing to Abraham, telling him as far as he can see, all that land is going to be his. And that he will make his descendants as the dust of the earth. I've never been able to count the dust. That seems like a lot to me. He also says in another place, as the stars in heaven. I've never been able to count all the stars. Seems like a lot. Another place he says, as much as the sand on the seashore. Well, that's a lot of sand. Those blessings are ours. In Genesis 15, God comes to Abraham in a vision. In Genesis 15:6, this is the key to faith right here. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Righteousness is right standing with God. Accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed that what God said he would do. Believe means a loving trust, give yourself wholly up to be a part of himself, or the unqualified committal. Abraham gave himself to God in utter abandonment, or unqualified committal of himself and all that he was or ever would be to God. You see, he didn't waver. We're going to see it right here in Romans, because it talks about Romans, and Romans talks about how he didn't waver at unbelief. Romans 4:16 through 22. "Therefore, it is of faith that I might be according to grace, so that this promise that we're talking about, the promise might be sure to all the seed." And we are a part of all that seed. In Christ, we are part of that seed. The seed was pointing to Jesus himself. But in Christ, we are of Abraham's seed. Amen? "Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, 'I made you the father of many nations.' In the presence of him who he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things that do not exist as though they did." God calls those things as though they did not exist. As though they did. That did not exist as though they did. "Who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken." Who spoke? What God spoke. "So shall your descendants be." And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. Already dead. Remember, he was 100 years old. Sarah was 90 years old. Since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. Well, how was he strengthened in faith? By giving glory to God and being fully convinced. Some translations say fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore, it was counted to him for righteousness. He believed God. Amen? God wants us to trust in him. Trust in that, in what he has already accomplished on our behalf. That we may have those blessings of Abraham. But you know, this is all the promise before the Mosaic covenant of the law. So in the law, there were certain steps that you had to take. But the law was to point us to Jesus Christ. The law was to point us to our relationship that we needed to have with the Father. What did God do? God swore. If you go back to Genesis 15 and you I want you to do this on your own, but go back in there and find out when God was swearing to Abraham, at the time, swearing to Abraham, and he was telling him what was going to happen. He had Abram split three sets of animals in two, and then the birds of the air started to come in, and the fowls of the air came in, and they were trying to take the carcass away. Well, we know that Satan is called like a fowl of the air. He wants to take the seed of the word away from us. So as he's doing that, God said, I don't need your help, Abram. So he puts him in a deep sleep, and he tells him of what the future of Israel is going to be about the next 400 years. They're going to be in the land of Egypt. But what I want you to notice is what walks through that covenant, because it's the two parties going together. There was a burning furnace and a blazing torch that walked through that covenant. A smoking oven and a blazing torch. God has been called a God of consuming fire. I believe that the smoking oven was God the Father. I believe that the blazing torch was Jesus Christ, because He is the light of the world. And Jesus, on our behalf, at that point in time, walked through that covenant, making that perpetual covenant for us as our substitute, because Abraham couldn't do it. For it to be a perpetual, perfect, there had to be perfection in there. And Abraham wasn't perfect. But his belief in God gave him a right standing, because it was counted unto him as righteous, because he believed that God would do what He said He would do. So God swore. He says in Hebrews 6:17 and 18, says that thus God determined to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise, that's us, the unchangeableness of His purpose, guaranteed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation for who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. God made a covenant with Abraham so that He might save the world. John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through the world, that the world through Him might be saved. In Genesis 22, the Lord asked Abraham to offer up Isaac, the most precious. He was just promised the son, the most precious thing to him. And it was given to him by God. Abraham responds quickly. He rises early in the morning to fulfill his covenant duty to the Lord. I want you to understand this, that without Abraham first willing to show his love and devotedness to God by the offering of his most precious possession, his son, then God could not have given his son to show his love and devotedness to Abraham's seed. Remember the assets and liabilities? What's yours is mine, what's mine is yours. God was requiring something from Abraham here. And Abraham passed the test. Because he believed God. You know, as Abraham took Isaac up on that mountain, it's the same mountain that Jesus died on. Took up that mountain, it was a 3-day journey. He said, it says in verse 6 that Abraham laid the wood on Isaac's back. And he walked up that hill. God the Father laid the wood on Jesus' back as He walked up that hill for us, to shed His blood for us. Isaac, because of Abraham's obedience, God spared Isaac's life, and a ram was provided, therefore calling that place, that Abraham said that this place is going to be called Mount Moriah, for the Lord shall provide. And the Lord has provided for us in Jesus Christ. He's provided everything that we need in Christ Jesus. So we have an enemy that's arrayed against us. John 10:10 says, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I come to bring life, and that more abundantly. Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. 1 John 3:8, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil." Victory. In Christ Jesus we have the Abrahamic covenant blessings in our life. Again, the Abrahamic covenant includes the blessings of material blessing, physical healing, protection, and long life. Abraham's blessings are ours today. Get that across. They're ours today. Abraham was blessed in all things. Abraham's obedience to the blood covenant brought him blessings. We see in Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 4. If you read those blessings, you know, blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed in your coming, blessed in your going. Those are the blessings that are upon our lives. But we also see the curses for disobedience. And it's a much more extensive list in verses 15 through 68. Obedience brings blessings. It's better to obey than sacrifice. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land, the Word says. So Jesus has established a new and better covenant for us. I want to read something in Psalm 103. Just as verses 1 through 6. I know it's not in your things. There's a lot of things that haven't been in your outline there. But it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is with me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits." That's what I'm trying to get across, is the benefit. We got a benefit package here in Christ Jesus. You know, God has given us some benefits. "Who heals, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed." Isn't that good? And that's the benefit package that God has given us. Hallelujah. Hebrews 8:6 says, "But now He has attained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as He is also the mediator of a better covenant, which He established on better promises." Here we're going to the Lord's table. Luke 22:20. "This cup is the new covenant in My blood, which was shed for you." Every promise, every part of this covenant that He makes with us is to be kept at the cost of every bit of His lifeblood. It is a far stronger covenant and has a far greater value to us as individuals. Matthew 26:28, which is our gospel reading. "For this is My blood of the new covenant, which was shed for you, shed for the remission of sins." Remission means to pardon, to put away, to forgive, to deliver from, to give liberty. We've been set free, folks. The blood of Jesus has set us free. The power and sin of death has no life in us, except that which we give it. Remember the covenant. Jesus sits down with His disciples to eat the Passover meal. Then He institutes the covenant meal, which we now celebrate as the Lord's Supper. Notice that after becoming a covenant partner with them, He had to go to the cross to pay their debts and ours. He sits down with them, has that covenant meal with them, and He says, I got to go do something for us. I got to go pay, because all your liabilities are my liabilities. I got to go pay that debt. Well, what was the debt? The wages of sin is death. Our debt was upon Him. He went to pay it. And He went to pay it faithfully on our behalf. Glory to God. What a great and awesome redemption that we have in Jesus Christ. Glory to God. And Hebrews 9:22 says, "According to the law, almost all things are purged, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." Hebrews 9:12, 14 through 15 says, "Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption." Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord, for Your eternal redemption. "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, He is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance." In the new covenant, we receive all the Abrahamic blessings. But in Christ, we receive all those same blessings and more. In Christ, we receive material blessing according to Philippians 4:19, "And My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." We receive physical healing according to 1 Peter 2:24. And there's other scriptures in there, but I just, for the sake of time, I only put one in here. Who Himself bore our sins on a tree, that we, having died to sins, might live to righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Were is a past tense, meaning that if you were, you are. Amen? We receive protection according to Romans 8:31 and 32. How then shall we say to these things, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? We not only receive long life, but we receive eternal life. The new birth. Here's the greatest gift. We become born again spirits. We receive born again spirits in the new birth. The moment we confess Jesus as Lord and believe in our hearts that He was raised from the dead, we will be saved. Salvation is ours. The covenant blessing is ours. According to Romans 10, 9 and 10, and according to 2 Corinthians 5, 17, which says that we become new creatures in Christ Jesus. Our Old Testament counterparts could only have the Spirit come upon them. But we have the greater one living on the inside of us. That's according to 1 John 4:4. Ephesians 1:3 and Peter 2:1-3 talk about He has blessed us. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." He's blessed us with everything that we need. Are we taking advantage of that contract that we have with Him? Do we know all that the contract holds for us? As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, it says He's given us all things. Now, if you do a study on all, in the Greek and the Hebrew, all means all. See, He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's not withholding any good gift from us. Through the knowledge of Him who called us. Okay, let me close with a story. Sorry for going long, but I just wanted... It's so important to know that this relationship that we have with Christ, that we can live so much in a higher relationship than we do. Because, you know, Paul talks about in Corinthians that we walk about as mere men. That we shouldn't be walking about as mere men. Because we're no longer, as born-again Christians, we're no longer mere men. We are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. The Creator of the universe, who created all things for our benefit. Did God need them? No, He created them for us. That we could enjoy them. That we would be blessed by them. That we would look to Him for all the things that we need. And call upon Him all the time. Let me close with a story. Long ago there was a maid who worked for the Queen of England. When the Queen passed away, she was found to have been so appreciative of her maid that the Queen included her in her last will and testament. The Queen's lawyer sent the maid a certificate guaranteeing her income for the rest of her life. Proud of the official piece of paper, but unable to read, the maid had it specially framed and hung in her living room for years. One day she had a visitor. He recognized the legal document, took a closer look. Perplexed, the visitor inquired of this poverty-stricken woman concerning the document and asked why she hadn't cashed it in. Well, in her ignorance, this woman was unable to access what belonged to her. You see, she couldn't read. She didn't know the benefits of that document. You see, as long as she made no demand on that document, the blessing was kept from her. So I wanted to encourage you guys, and I hope it was an encouragement. I hope it was a revelation to you. I hope I spoke to your hearts. That we need to find out what's in the document. And make a demand on that document. Now you say, well, that's awful bold of you. Well, God wants us to be bold. He wants us to be bold to make it not a demand on Him and try and tell Him what to do, but it is written. Jesus, every time the devil came across Him, He said to the devil, "It is written." He found it. Now the devil knew the word too. But when you find out what is yours, the promises that are in yours, you can stand on "it is written." For prosperity, for health, for healing, for long life, for relationships, for whatever is in here is yours. It is His will, His testament. We are His inheritance. This is His covenant, His promise to us. Let us receive that God has all of God's best that He has for us. Father, I thank You. I just thank You for Your goodness, Father, and Your mercy which endures forever. Father, I don't know all Your blessings, but I want to experience everything that You have for us, for me. I want to know You in such a greater way. I pray that each and every one of us, Father, would just cry out to You. Cry out to You, Father, and say, show us Your way. Show us what is ours, that we may enjoy You. Because You are our all in all. You are everything. You are our shield and You are our reward. You are the Most High God that loves us. Help us to love You and love one another, even as You have commanded us.